Okay, so we often hear in our culture that looks don't matter because it's what's on the inside that counts, right? I mean, we hear that all the time. But that's not really true. We don't really truly believe that, do we? I don't think that we do. I could stand here and give you a whole argument on how this does or doesn't work, but I think the argument against that looks don't matter, it's what's on the inside that counts, is summed up by a quote from the latest release of the Trolls series, Trolls World Tour, when one of the characters he converted his music style to rock and roll. I don't get it either. He converted to rock and roll. This is the first thing he said when he became a rocker. Go ahead and put this up here, Drayton. He said, "Who's ready to get ripping tattoos everywhere but our faces in case we still need office jobs? Woo!" Sums up my argument entirely. Looks matter. Looks matter. They communicate things about people. They communicate position and intentionality. They can communicate about our jobs and our socioeconomic level. In fact, if you don't believe me that looks matter, let's play a little game here right now, okay? So this is interactive. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, use either the like buttons on Facebook or just use emojis on YouTube. And here's what I want you to do. We're going to go through a series of six images. And we're going to play a very hard game, but a little game I like to call McDonald's or military. That's right. So what's going to happen is I'm going to show you a picture of a person or persons, and you are going to hit the thumbs up button if you think that it is a McDonald's worker, and you're going to hit the heart button if you think it is someone who is in the military. Okay? This is a really tough game. And we're going to go through these quick. So get your fingers ready. Start hitting those buttons, those like. Remember, thumbs up for McDonald's. Heart. I can't do this. My kids can do it real well. Heart for military. Ready? Let's go here. First one, Drayton. All right. Is that military or McDonald's? Start hitting those buttons. Okay. And I'm going to touch my face because I can't get the hair out of my face. Okay. Go to the next one. Hard one. McDonald's or military? Hit those buttons. All right, go to the next one. McDonald's or military? What do you think? What do you think? Could be one, could be the either one. This is a hard game. Go to the next one. There's two people. Are we trying to trick you? Is this McDonald's or military? Hit those buttons. Hit them. Hit them. And go to the next one. McDonald's or military? All right, hit the buttons. Now, this is what's... Oh, this one's rough. Which one is it? McDonald's or military? Thumbs up or heart? Which one is it? Which one is it? All right, go ahead and go through it here. You can put that down. Was this hard at all? I don't see you guys participating in this at all. But was that hard? No, of course it wasn't. That was super easy. If you saw a McDonald's worker among a platoon of soldiers, you would think something was a little weird. And if you saw a military person in full military regalia giving you your order at McDonald's, what's going on? I don't know. Are we under martial law now? It'd be strange. The external appearance matters. It makes a difference. But why? Why should Christians pay attention to how people look? Not in just what they look like, their clothes, although that's part of it, but in their external actions too. Why should Christians pay attention to how people look? So we're backing up into the Gospel of Luke. And hey, Jesse, good to have you here. And if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 20, verse 41. Read along with me. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'How can they say the Christ is the son of David? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, "The Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." David calls him Lord. How then can the Christ be his son?" At home, while we're going through this, what I want you to do onto Facebook or YouTube, write to me a food that tastes better than the packaging would suggest. So what kind of food has kind of bland or terrible or ugly packaging, but the food inside is amazing? So write me whatever your best responses are on YouTube or on Facebook. And so, you know, reading through this, Megan pointed out when we read this text last week that yes, it's because Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. That's how Jesus can simultaneously be a descendant of David, but David can also call him his master, because I'm not calling my son master no matter how old he is. That's not going to happen. That's not how things work. But because Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, yes, I know the philosophers, they hate it when we say stuff like that. They'd prefer if we said fully God and fully man, but whatever, I'm a theologian, not a philosopher. It works. It's called a hypostatic union, folks. 100% God, 100% man. That's how Jesus can simultaneously be a descendant of David, because in his flesh, he is a descendant of David, and how he can be David's master, because he is divine. The second person of the Trinity came down and put on human flesh and walked among us. It's kind of a hard understanding for us to wrap around, but here's the deal. Here's what happened. Jesus is telling them, he's giving them a hint right now, that his humanity doesn't tell the whole story about what's on the inside. And it's a hard metaphor for us to get, but if you're like me and a sci-fi nut, there's a great science fiction show that gives us a good metaphor for what it's like. If you guys have watched Doctor Who, right? And those of you guys who know what this is the TARDIS. It is a police box from the turn of last century, basically a phone booth. And an alien basically goes around the universe in this phone booth, and it's like his spaceship. But the reality is that the spaceship isn't the thing, the police box. This is just a facade. It's actually bigger on the inside. When they open it up, there's like the size of a house on the inside. It's bigger on the inside. It would be like if I took this small box and I could fit your entire house inside of it. You open it up, you go in, and your whole house is in this box. It's bigger on the inside. That's the image that Jesus is trying to get them to ponder and to get, that Jesus's humanity, the external, his appearance, his clothes, his humanity, it's only a part of the story. There's so much more on the inside. So let's see, what has better food than what's on the outside? Would suggest, hey, Jonathan, Jesse, good to have you guys here. Kristen says, fried chicken. Yeah. Yeah, fried chicken's really good, and that box is kind of lame. Sharon says, ice cream. Yes, there is no box alive that could possibly communicate the goodness of ice cream. P.F. Chang's. Yeah, I don't know. Do we have any of those up here, Mark? Shelly says, sushi rolls. Yeah. Katrina says, coffee. Absolutely. Kristen says, Tootsie Rolls. And Linda says, tofu. And you're gonna have to make some tofu for me, because I'm not convinced yet. But I haven't had good tofu yet. So, Mike says Amish bacon. Yes, amen. I don't know what Amish bacon is, but I assume it's bacon. Jane says potatoes, and Darren says lime jello. We'll have to agree to disagree. Susie says eggs. Yes, that was my answer actually, Susie. Tori says kiwi. Oh yeah. Mark says TARDIS. Wow. Okay. And Mark says love Doctor Who. I know. I love Doctor Who too. See, we're all nerds. And I'm not seeing any comments on YouTube, but I am checking YouTube just in case any of you guys have comments to make. Okay. So right, that's the image that Jesus is trying to get us. There's more than just the exterior package, but you have to pay attention to the exterior package so that you can understand that there's something more on the inside. Why should Christians pay attention to how people look? Jesus has given us a hint here. We're not quite there yet. Let's go to the next section. Chapter 20, verse 45. While all the people were listening, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who want to go around in long robes and who love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at banquets." Okay, this is where I get into lots of trouble. At home, I want you to write, who do you think the most attractive celebrity is? All sorts of trouble. Who do you think the most attractive celebrity is? I'm sure we're going to get lots of Jason Momoas. I'm just a guess. Anyway, so here we are. And the reason I'm asking that is, well, not the total reason, but part of the reason I'm asking that is because you have to understand the scribes were essentially the celebrities. They didn't have celebrities the way we do. And so it was the people who had the power, but that were popularly located everywhere. And so scribes were like our celebrities. And they had the clothes. And you knew who a scribe was based on their clothes. And you knew who a scribe was based on who was doing the very honorific prayer. And you knew who the scribe was based on who was sitting at the front of the table at the banquet or at the wedding party. These were the modern day celebrities. And Jesus, he starts off and he says, beware. Beware of them. Well, why beware of them, Jesus? I don't understand why, you know, he says, beware of the scribes. They go around in long robes. Yeah, that's how we identify them, Jesus. They love greetings in the marketplaces. Well, who doesn't? I don't want people ignoring me if they see me. You guys have had that experience, right? Where you're in the supermarket and you see someone you know, and you're like, oh, hey, and they actually like pretend they didn't see you and walk away. Oh my goodness. And you're like, oh my goodness, what did I do? Who doesn't want that? And the best seats in the synagogues and the places of, and by the way, the best seat in the synagogue was the front row. So something has changed in the last 2,000 years because no one ever sits in the front row at church. And the places of honor at banquets. Who doesn't want the place of honor? You know, you go to a wedding and you're like, hey, you're in table 37. You're like, oh, great. I was the afterthought. Oh, yeah, we got to invite Nathan, too. Oh, let's put him over here and with the questionable uncles who we have to separate from everyone. Right? So who doesn't want that? So these were the celebrities of their day. Let's see. Mike Williams says, it's a trap. That's right. And, oh, by the way, I forgot, too. If you guys want a fellowship at the end, look at the feed. We're going to have the post to the GoToMeeting feed if you want to do digital fellowship at the end of service. Shelley says, Luke Bryan. And Jane says, Richard Dean Anderson or Mark Harmon. Anderson says, not biting. Misty says, Dylan O'Brien. Willie says, or Susie says, no comment. Tori says, Luke Bryan. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And Nate Shattuck says, Chris Hemsworth, maybe. That was a smart answer. Not seeing any Jason Momoa. Oh, hey, Steve, thanks for answering. Laura, I don't know who any of these people are. Laura Vinning Weber Baldwin Spencer from General Hospital, childhood and teenage crush. Okay, that makes sense. Thanks for telling us who that was. Yeah, me. Oh, I should have written this down. I can't remember. It was the girl from Doctor who played Amy Pond, Karen Gillan. Karen Gillan. Yeah, I think she's the most attractive one. Also in Jumanji movies. But we put that out there, and Jesus is saying, wait, hold on. All this attraction, this external thing, even the things that they do, be careful. He says, beware of the scribes. They have all of the external stuff going on. But be careful. Why? Verse 47, he says, they devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgments. So at home, think about on the news. On the news, what kind of people always surprise their neighbors that they did the sort of things they did? I know that's a terrible question and very vague. So in the news, they're interviewing people after a major event, and they always interview the neighbors, and what kind of people are they saying, I never would have expected they would have done that. They were always nice. They were always quiet. They mowed my lawn. They were great people. I don't understand. I can't believe they did this thing. What kind of people do the neighbors say good things of and are shocked that they committed whatever events have happened? There's lots of answers for this, so go ahead and write that down. Jesus says they're doing this for show. They devour widows' houses. And so by that, often the scribe, when a woman was widowed, she didn't necessarily have rights. And so they would assign her a scribe to oversee her household finances. And what would they do? They would go and they would take her and put her into a home or kick her out or put her in a relative's home, sell the house or move into the house and take it for their own and add to their own treasury, their own personal coffers. It was evil. It was evil. And everyone said, wow, look at that. They're taking care of the widows. No, they weren't. They were monsters. They say long prayers just for show. Yes, when someone prays and they're giving, maybe even a gospel message. Wow, what a godly person. And Jesus is saying, hold on. Not necessarily. These will receive harsher judgment. Let's see what we got here at home. Sharon said, Liv Tyler. Rebecca says most of them for celebrities. And back to the celebrity question. Nate Shattuck says probably Nathan Norman. Thanks, Nate. Okay, I know that there is some feedback. Let's see. Hey, Rhonda, good to have you here. Yeah, I'm not seeing anyone here. Here's my answers for that. Who in the news do they say, do the neighbors say, I can't believe they ever did anything like that. I can't believe that that they could have possibly done that. I'm thinking murderers, right? You have murderers and they're like, they interview the murderers and the neighbors of the murderer. And they're like, well, they were so good and they watched my kids. And you're like, oh, no, why? Because they were fooled by the external. You think arsonists, or you think embezzlers. The neighbors are always like, wow, they were so good and they were great to me. And I'm so surprised they kept to themselves. You think crooked pastors, whole congregation, after the person has done some evil thing within the community or behind the scenes, everyone says, oh, wow, the pastor. And I accepted the gospel because of his message. I accepted, or he married us, he baptized me. How could this man have done this thing? And Jesus is saying, be careful about the external appearances, because they don't always communicate what's happening underneath. In the case of the scribes, here they were doing all the external right things, but inside they were moral monsters. Behind the scenes, they did awful, terrible things. And so Jesus is saying, be careful, watch them. You see their clothes, pay attention to what they're wearing. It's not an accurate portrayal of what's happening on the inside. But it's more than that. Oh, wait, okay. So the live feed has caught up. Yeah, sex offenders, pedophiles, mass shooters, abusers. Yeah, same thing. Over and over and over again. And I'm going to assume that Nate Shattuck's comment, probably Nathan Norman, was about the attractive celebrities and not what kind of people do the neighbors speak well of after their fall. abusers, absolutely. Mass shooters, yeah, everyone speaks well of them. Or they say, I can't believe this person did that. It's so shocking. Why must Christians pay attention to how people look? Okay, so there's a negative example. There's these good-looking people who did bad things. You got to pay attention. And by the way, those of you who didn't want to put in a celebrity, you had a name jump to your mind. So you had a name. So we pay attention to looks. Chapter 21, verse 1. Jesus looked up and saw the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor woman dropping in two tiny coins. At home, this might get me in trouble too. Why do people dress like bums? Right? Give me all the reasons. There are a variety of reasons why people dress like bums. I couldn't think of a simple word to say, you know, they're bedraggled, they're kind of cruddy in the way that they dress. I don't know. Why do people dress like bums? There are a variety of reasons. So why do people do it? What context do they do it? Just give me simple answers. Why do people dress like bums? So we're looking at this text, right? So Jesus, he's with his disciples. Jesus looks up, sees the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. Up. How did Jesus know they were rich? I know, he's Jesus, fully God, fully man. I understand that. Okay. But Jesus was talking to his disciples. So later on, we do see he brings attention to what's happening. So how did Jesus' disciples know who he was talking about? How did the disciples know that these were rich people? It was their clothes, right? It was their clothes. They're coming in, and if they were today, they would come into the church with like a vest, a suit, and like some sort of ascot, not even a tie, and they got a pocket watch and cufflinks, and it's amazing. They'd just be coming in, and you would know this is a rich person in our midst. Well, that's what's happening. People are coming to bring their offerings to God, and he sees these people. He knows they're rich. They got big bags of money, and they're putting their offering in. Then. He saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. How did Jesus know she was a widow? Okay, how did the disciples know she was a widow? Right? Because Jesus would have been like, hey, you see that widow over there? And they're like, what? The woman in the pink jumper there? Right? It was her clothes. She's wearing the clothes of a widow, dark black clothes. How does he know she was poor? By her offering. No, that's not the answer. By her clothes. It's the external appearance again. He knew the rich were rich because of their clothes. He knew the widow was a widow because of her clothes. And he knew she was poor because of her clothes. And she drops two small coins into the offering. Why should Christians pay attention to how people look? Let's see. So, why do people dress like bums? Kristen, my wife, says, comfortable. Yep. Misty says, comfy. Tired. Busy. Yep. Rebecca says, laziness. Yeah. Andrew says, poor self-esteem. Mm-hmm. My wife says, quarantine. Tori says, like me, lazy, LOL. Shelley says, to make a personal statement, lazy, comfortable, yep. Kristen, my wife, says, poverty. I don't know why I keep saying Kristen, my wife. Sharon says, rebellion. Jane says, comfort. Linda says, to con you for money. Yep, that could be it. Mark says, maybe it's their best, yep. And let's see, Steve says, people will dress like bums when they don't care what others will think, yep. Misty says, financially struggling. Absolutely. And how you see a bum is subjective too, says Andra. Absolutely. I know. I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just trying. Yeah, whatever. Now I feel guilty. Mike says, to keep others at arm's length. Maybe we need to add that for the in-person service thing. Also, dress, you know, like, keep your social distance. What's it? Dress like you smell. Thanks, Patty. And Jane says, I had factory clothes and church clothes. Yep, absolutely. And still over on YouTube, I've just got Nate saying, probably Nathan Norman. I think that applies here too. It's all about, it's the clothes, right? There's many, many different reasons. And I asked you that question because I think that's what Jesus is getting at here in this whole section. It's not just one reason why people have poor-looking clothes or rich-looking clothes. It's not just one. Let's see what Jesus says here, verse 3 of chapter 21. He says, truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. So at home, this one's going to take a little bit of time. It'll be a few minutes before I get to it. But how do you think God can use little things to do big things? How do you think God can use a little offering to do a big thing? How do you think God can use a little talent, a little gift, a little time to accomplish big things? How does God do that? What are the mechanics? How do you think God can use little things to do big things? Take some time and write that through, because that's a harder question. It's a difficult question. So Jesus, again, because he's divine, he is able to know this, but he says she put in everything she had to live on. She put in more than them, even though numerically they put in more money with the bags of money and everything, but they gave out of their excess. She gave everything she had to live on because she loved God so much. And so it was bigger. And why does Jesus point this out? Well, he points it out because who would think that the kingdom of God would belong to a poor widow, the most vulnerable in society in first century Israel? Who would think the biggest giver to the temple treasury would be a poor widow who had absolutely nothing? But in Jesus' eyes, in God's eyes, and somehow in God's economy, it was her. Why must Christians look, pay attention to how people look? Why must Christians pay attention to how people look? Christians need to pay attention to how people look because the external often doesn't tell the whole story about the internal. What's on the outside doesn't always tell the full story of what's on the inside. And looks can sometimes be deceptive, and sometimes they can tell you the truth. Sometimes you see people mowing others' lawns and getting the mail for their neighbors, and they're wonderful people, and you say, wow, that's a great person. And sometimes they're casing the joint so that they can take advantage of their neighbors. Jesus is saying, he keeps pointing out, look, Jesus is saying, look at my external appearance. There's something bigger on the inside. Be careful. It doesn't always communicate what's going on the inside. He says, look at the scribes. They look the part of godliness. But they're not necessarily godly. In fact, they're moral monsters. The external is hiding the monstrous internal. And look at this poor widow. You might think she is least in the kingdom of God. I tell you, she is the greatest. Her external is not properly communicating what's happening in the internal. The external often does not adequately communicate what's happening on the inside, doesn't tell us what's on the inside, doesn't tell us the character. And so Christians, we must pay attention to what's on the external so that we never are forgetful that the external is not always what's happening on the inside. Because here's the thing, sometimes clothes tell the truth and sometimes they lie. Sometimes the external tells us the truth and sometimes it tells us falsehoods. And if we are not conscious of it at all times, we will eventually be fooled by it and start subconsciously thinking that, oh, they're well-dressed, they're good. Oh, they're doing a prayer, they must be good. And we will be fooled into thinking someone is bad when they're actually good or good when they're actually bad. If we are not conscious of the external, we will forget to ask the question of the internal. Christians must pay attention to how people look. Because if we don't, we will fail to see the moral character on the inside. Good or bad. And this is different than saying, the exterior doesn't matter, it's what's on the inside that counts. No. Because the exterior communicates things. Some people are trying to communicate what they actually are on the inside. Other people are trying to deceive us, and we need to keep that in mind at all times. Otherwise, we will be deceived one way or the other. We'll be wrong. Jesus could tell the moral character of someone by looking at them because of his full divinity. We can't. The only thing we can do is take time. Time to get to know them, not be fooled by good clothes or not be fooled by bummy clothes, comfortable clothes. Maybe I should have said that. It is only through time that we can discern a person's character. And so that kind of brings me back to the beginning of the service, going back to the TARDIS. And by the way, I don't think I can do this. Nate and Chelsea actually got me these TARDIS socks. I can't show you. A number of years ago, and I'm wearing them today, the Doctor Who socks. So thanks, guys. I felt I needed to do that. But that's the idea that Jesus has given us here. We're not Jesus. We're not partially divine. We are fully human. And yet, in the same way, there's more to us than meets the eye, to quote another sci-fi thing, the Transformers. But there's more to us than meets the eye. There's more to us than just what's on the outside. Even if we're trying to have our exterior communicate our interior, there's far more going on in our hearts. And so we are bigger on the inside. There's more to a person than merely what's on the exterior. There's a whole lot more going on in our hearts. We have to be reminded of that. And now to make another science fiction reference, because that's apparently the day it is. Mothers love science fiction, right? Of course. My favorite sci-fi show of all time is a show called Babylon 5. Great show. But they had a spin-off series that didn't last because of, you know, the muckety-mucks and the suits that didn't like it. Anyways, but the show was called Crusade. And one of the cool things with Crusade was the captain of the ship, he had this device. It wasn't just a device. It was go ahead and put up a picture here, Drayton. It was called an apocalypse box. And it wasn't just a device. It was sentient. It could think. It knew things. And it knew mysteries of the universe that were happening right now. And it knew all of this stuff. It had all this information. And the captain could go to it and get information that no one else knew. So he could track down ships in a different quadrant and all that stuff, right? It knew things. But here was the catch. Sometimes it lied. It had all the secrets of the universe, and sometimes it lied. I think that is the perfect analogy of clothes, right? Our clothes communicate so much to us, and we do evaluate on clothes. We have to pay attention to the external. We have to pay attention to how people look and how people act. We do that all the time, and yet sometimes they lie. And that's why Christians, that's why Jesus keeps bringing attention to external images, external acts, how people look. You have to pay attention to this because we do. And if you're not conscious of it, you will be subconscious on it and you will be fooled when sometimes the external lies. One of the best, go ahead, you go to this next one here, Drayton. one of the best TV detectives, fictional detectives, is Columbo. I don't care what you think. Columbo's the best. And I love that. If I can find an art print of this, I want to get a hold of this. I've been looking. I can't find one. But the best is it's Columbo talking to Batman, who they say is the world's greatest detective. No, he's not the world's greatest fictional detective. He's the second. You got Columbo over here who's like, one more thing. And what I love about Columbo is everyone always underestimated him. That was part of his deal. He always had bedraggled clothes. He dressed like a bum. He was just, his hair was all messed up. He's asking pointless, idiotic questions. And the murderers over there are like, I'm going to get away with it. This is the guy investigating. Yes, he's an idiot. And they'd be, all right, here you go. And they'd go and they'd walk away. And they'd be like, oh, one more thing. You know, and he'd ask a question. One more thing. Why were you over at your mother's house that other night? Right? And then they answer because they think that this guy's a nobody. Well, in reality, in the show, he was the greatest detective. And that's how he would get them. One more thing. Everyone always underestimated him, but what was on the inside was far greater, far more brilliant than his bedraggled, bummy external exterior communicated. That's why Christians must pay attention to how people look. Because if we don't, we will be fooled. If we don't, we will just take the external at face value and not spend the time that's required to evaluate the internal character. Christians must pay attention to how people look. Because the external does not always communicate the character of a person. Let's see. So I asked a question. How can God take small little things, small little offerings, small little talents, and do them to do big things? And so I know it was a hard one. So let's see. I've got Linda says, God can open hearts of those who are in charge to make it possible to make a difference. Absolutely. Jane says, compliment a sad person and watch them smile. Absolutely. Linda says you can't judge by a book by its cover, as they say. So it's true. Absolutely. Yeah, and sometimes it has an amazing cover and it's an amazing book. And sometimes it has an amazing cover and it's a terrible book. And sometimes it has a terrible cover and it's an amazing book. So you have to pay attention to it and be conscious of it. Otherwise, you're going to just start evaluating books by their covers subconsciously. So you have to know. You have to keep saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Tina says, sometimes so little can touch the hearts of so many people. Yeah, amen, sister. Rob says, like the parable of the talents, when we are faithful and give God our best, even when we don't have as much ability as others, God can take it and use it abundantly. Hey, Judy. Hey, April. Shelly says, I'm thinking about my daughter's teacher and coaches right now, taking their personal time to send emails, hold group chats, and even sending personal little things through postal mail. God knows some of these kids really need this during quarantine time for many reasons. Yeah. Yeah. Small little act, but it can do very big things. Jill says, watching God work through little things reminds us to rely on him and his strength and love for us. Yeah, amen. Hey, Brianna, thanks for joining us. And Mark says, yay, Columbo. Absolutely, because it's Columbo is the best. And again, over on YouTube, I see you guys watching. You guys are watching right now. You can comment. Again, on YouTube, Nate just has probably Nathan Norman on. And that is probably a good example of God using a very little small thing to do larger things. And Mark says, maybe so that he can bless you in a way that we would never expect. You know, years ago at this church, we were actually doing, it wasn't a service in the church, it was in the community. And someone that I knew came running up to me and said, I missed the opportunity to give an offering to the church. And he hands me a check, and it's straight open. I can't help but see it. I don't normally do not want to see what people give. I don't like knowing what people give. I don't. I don't have access to the financial giving records. So I can be impartial, and I can make moral choices. But hands me a check, just face up. Can't help but see it. It was $4. It was a $4 check. What in the world can God do with $4? I mean, like, how does that help our bottom line at all, right? How does that do anything? $4 check. I mean, like, is it even worth writing a check for $4? I have no clue how God has used that. I mean, yes, we are paying attention to the finances here. I don't know how God can use that, but I got back into my car to drive that check over to the church. I wasn't going to come to the church, but now I have money from, you know, church people, so I've got to come back over to the church and drop it off and put it in our safe box and everything. And I just start crying. Here's someone, he chased me down to give me a $4 check. What can God do with $4? I have no clue. I have no clue, but I mean, at the end of the day, the way Beth has been buying money, buying food for the free meal distribution that's happening every Tuesday and Friday, 4:30 to 6 p.m., that's at least 5 meals. That's more than 5 meals given to people in the name of Jesus in a crisis in a time. How can God use that? I don't know. Use your imagination. God can use very small things to do very big things. God can use people who are dressed like bums to make his glory known to the world. God can use people who are dressed very richly in order to communicate his gospel. I don't know. You don't know. And so we don't understand what's happening on the inside. So we have to pay attention to the external so that we're always reminded that we can't use that to judge a person's character. And truthfully, for you at home, if you're here, you need to be cautioned as well, just as Jesus cautioned his disciples when he was looking at others. We need to caution ourselves. Don't try and hide who you really are behind the external, because sin thrives in darkness. If you are trying to do kind things, if you're trying to do acts of service, if you're trying to dress well and play the church part so that somehow you will fool everyone else, God isn't fooled. Just like the scribes, God knows. Just like the poor widow, God knows. He knows the heart. You're not fooling anyone. And the truth is that sin thrives and grows in darkness. If you're stuffing your sin down and trying to do all this external stuff to look the part of a righteous Christian, it's going to destroy you and it's going to destroy those around you. And it's going to come out in a spectacularly awful way. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent and find a fellow brother or sister who you trust in Christ and confess your sins to them. Not so they can beat you up, not even for accountability, but so that you can confess to them and they can remind you that in Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and purifies us from all unrighteousness. Confess and find the forgiveness that Jesus has. Don't try and hide the sin issues that you have behind the external. Jesus knows. Man judges by appearances, but God looks at the heart. And so as a church, as a people of God, we must always be mindful of how people look so that we don't judge them by how people look. Because what's on the external, it does matter. And if you are not paying attention to what people are wearing, what people are doing, eventually it will come back. And you will subconsciously judge them on how they are looking, unless you're paying attention. So look at how people look. Look at how people act. And remember that the external is often hiding the true moral character of a person inside. Always look at the external so that you are not deceived by the internal. Let's pray. Father, we are reminded of our great Lord and Jesus Christ, who he came and he looked like one of us. He talked like one of us. There was nothing about him that we should esteem him. And yet Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, the God-man, God in flesh. Help us to follow. Help us to realize that the external often masks what's happening on the inside, and help us to always be conscious of how the external is affecting us internally. Father, I pray for us as a church that as we look at the external things, the actions people do, the way they look, that we will be a church that slows down to spend time with people so we can understand their hearts, we can understand their moral character, so we can understand how to best disciple them towards Jesus Christ. Father, help those who are listening right now who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to come to know him today, right now. May you help them to acknowledge that they are sinners, that they have fallen short of your glory, that they have shaken their fist in rebellion at you and said, I am the God of my own life. You cannot tell me what to do. Help them to repent of that, to acknowledge that they are sinners, that they've fallen short. And help them to accept Jesus' salvation. Help them to trust that Jesus died for their sins and rose again. And as they do that, Lord, I pray that they are encouraged, that they are now called sons or daughters of you, God Most High, that they are adopted into your family, that you have forgiven their sins and you remember them no more. They are as far as the east is from the west. And when they mess up and when they fail, they can come back to you again, and you are faithful and just, and you will purify them from every sin that they commit by the blood of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, every single time. I pray, Lord, that those watching this who don't know Jesus, that they will repent and believe that Jesus died for their sins and rose again. And Lord, I pray that you will take our meager offerings of money, of time, of energy, of prayers, and you will add power to them. Make them big, make them do glorious things for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God to come. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.